Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
After an emotional end,
yeah,
this is the TNA run of Ric Flair.
I think if you were going to, isn't it? Yeah, I think if you were going to sort of say, "What's Wrestle Me like?" I think you know, last week's episode is a great example.
Yeah,
because you go, they do this really, really nice, warm appreciation of the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels match, but it was also interrupted when one of their children rang up to ask for a biscuit. I mean, that's 100% what we're about. Yeah, so we've just left Ric Flair in the ring at WrestleMania 24, bawling his eyes out.
Yeah, because it's all over. His career is over.
It's over.
But then, Mark, he does something else.
Yeah, Flair finds it difficult to retire.
Away,
yeah, he's been doing this all of his life, and I think it's he doesn't like the just being a guy who is doing meet and greets. What ends up happening is he ends up slightly severing from WWE.
Yeah,
some of this is slightly pushed by the fact that he does an appearance at Ring of Honor.
Right.
And the WWE are not very happy about that because they are a rival thing. Even though he's not wrestling, he just turns up and he does an in-ring speech. They begin to sort of feel you're supposed to be a WWE ambassador, not doing other things. The problem with Flair is he spends a lot of money throughout his career and he begins to get big offers. So people like High Spots, who are a wrestling tape company, they are famous for their shoot interviews. And they begin saying to Flair, "We will give you the more money than we've ever paid anyone if you want to do a shoot interview."
Yeah.
You know? And he gets a huge amount of money for doing things like that.
Right.
So quite quickly, I think he becomes disillusioned with the WWE, the role he's been given.
And the restrictions that are inherent.
Yeah, and he ends up...
His lack of ability to make money.
I mean, he ends up taking a trip with Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan puts on a series of events in Australia on a show called the Hulkamania Let the Battle Begin Tour.
Right.
So this happens in November 2009. So WrestleMania is April 2008. So 18 months later, Flair finds himself back in the ring. He loses to Hogan when he gets hit with brass knuckles or something. It's all a bit tawdry. Hogan, by this point, is also not really capable of putting on a good match.
Yeah.
So the men do four matches, I think, or five matches against each other. And people are very disappointed, really.
Yeah.
There is a sense that because it happens in Australia, it doesn't count. It's on the other side of the world, and it's just these two old guys doing it. People are really disappointed that they end up doing a big bloodbath as well. People are like, this seems... Unseemly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Flair at this point is 60, and a 60-year-old man cutting his head open. I don't know. There is something.
Well, I mean, to be honest, when it said like he was retiring, I was like, and I heard that he went on and she'll come on to the TNA stuff, but like, and you know, a man called Jay Lethal is pulling his pants down.
Yeah, I mean,
to reveal a better bum than I will ever have.
Yeah. He signs 60. With Impact. And I remembered vaguely the Impact thing. I was like, oh yeah, he got into the ring a few times and everything. He got into the ring a lot.
Yeah.
So he had matches against people. This is post this WrestleMania. He has matches against Mick Foley, Jay Lethal, Abyss, Doug Williams, which takes place in London. Doug Williams is a British wrestler who retired at Progress's Wembley show on a big thing. And he also has sort of said, well, I will come back if it's international companies asking me to wrestle.
Right.
And I will wrestle in Britain if I'm wrestling for international companies putting on shows in Britain. Wrestlers, retire or don't retire. It's slightly like people who say, oh, you know, this party's shit, I'm leaving. And they get up and they go, right, I'm leaving this. Yeah. I've had enough.
Come on.
And they're coming back a bit later and just going, seeing if it's not, I don't want to be back. I just feel like, you know, it's, it makes a mockery of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, one of the only people who did retire and not come back was Shawn Michaels. Mm. But then he did come back. He came back on one of the Saudi shows, you know, and they all regret it. They all regret it.
Yeah.
Flair ends up having his final match nicely, in fact, with Sting, who is his long perennial rival from WCW. They have that match in September 2011. So this is three and a half years after the WrestleMania match. Mm. Flair gets injured in the match. He has a sort of shoulder problem. It keeps him out of the ring. And in the time that he's out, Jerry Lawler, who is the same sort of age group as Flair, Jerry Lawler suffers a near-fatal heart attack during an episode of Raw when he's sort of in the ring.
Wow.
He has he dies. And because they've got the medics there, they manage to revive him and bring him back to life. This all happens on Raw. Mm. And Flair has alcoholic cardiomyopathy, which is long-term alcohol abuse has left him very, very susceptible to heart failure.
Right.
So when he saw that happen to Lawler, he realized, okay, he isn't immortal. He can't live forever. And he decided that he would not be coming back. In 2016, he said continuing to wrestle in TNA was the number one regret of his career. Mm. There was also a sense that he damaged his legacy. When he went out at WrestleMania, he went out as a huge performer on the biggest stage of them all. And by doing TNA afterwards, these matches that you know weren't very good against wrestlers who were famous in wrestling, but were not the level of Shawn Michaels, and certainly in buildings that were nothing like doing it at the Citrus Bowl, there was a sense that he had a couple of such bad years at the end that there would be people who remember them before they remember the glory years. Mm. And that's a really sad thing. Since then, he has done lots of sort of promotional appearances with WWE. He does lots of sort of adverts and things. He has loads of sort of promotional odds and ends. He's done them for some quite big companies and things. He gets referenced quite a bit in modern hip hop. Everyone loves Ric Flair. He's continually on TikTok since pushing his RicFlair.com, you know, the numerous t-shirts and odds and ends. And from 2015 to 16, he did podcasting.
Right.
Not a natural fit. because apart from anything else, he likes to be well paid. So I do think that Ric Flair is the greatest wrestler of all time. I think, you know, people have had better matches, of course. People have had better feuds. There have been better people who were better for short periods of time. But nobody has just wrestled as long and as well and as excitingly as Ric Flair. Mm. He is just the best. And actually seeing him on this night, I don't think I've ever seen the TNA stuff. I don't think I ever will. For me, Flair ends that night.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be.
Good on you, Mark.
Jick.
Good on you.
The first match of the post-Ric Flair era. It's the Playboy Bunny match. Maria and Ashley versus Beth Phoenix and Melina. Mm. Last year, we had the Lumberjills match, didn't we?
Yeah, why have they gone back to Lumberjack match?
Lumberjill just existed for 1 year.
Yeah, what,
like
they retired
a beautiful
it?
Like butterfly. Oh. Yep, it's gone. And out comes Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
In a little vehicle.
A little, like a sort of kitted out blingy golf cart sort
yeah.
of thing. Got a little sound system in it.
Do you remember those, if you were like saying, you know, you're trying to make like a sitcom and you wanted to show a house was a bit rough.
Yeah.
You know those two-tone plastic
yellow and
cars?
Red kitty cars.
Yeah.
Kitty cars.
Those ones that kids used to go yeah. in that are like shaped like eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a big version
it's
of that.
Like a big version of that, but Snoop Dogg's in it.
Yeah, it is.
What a weird kind of... Because it was kind of like... Because Playboy heavily involved in this.
Yeah,
this
so every shebang. April, ahead of WrestleMania, pretty much for 4 or 5 years,
yeah.
had been a WWE star.
Yeah.
And they were always the best-selling issues for Playboy of the year.
Right.
It was a very useful connection. There's a horrible thing being set here, which is based on the last year and the year before... If you want to get your muff and boobies out,
yeah.
then you will get to be on WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But if you want to wrestle, then you will just be turning up, walking behind Snoop Dogg's car like
yeah.
an escort.
Yeah.
It's a horrible, pervasive period to be a woman in wrestling, where you are rewarded not just for the way you look, but how much of the way you look you will show the world. Mm. And I feel for everyone in this. You know, Maria, still going, still looks incredible. She's back in the WWE at the moment.
Right.
Beth Phoenix, just finishing the Royal Rumble. Nice to see 12 years later, the women who were here at a point where they weren't being taken seriously are working in a point where they're appreciated
yeah.
and where they're superstars rather than, you know, a bit of fluff.
Mm.
This is not really a match.
No, there's nothing there. I mean, it's kind of, again, it's around that time where Playboy had a bit of a resurgence where you'd see people wearing Playboy shirts, yeah, and Playboy crappy like Lizzie Duke kind of necklaces and stuff like that. It was becoming a bit of a brand. But
they were
really sort of
very much like you could buy Playboy in Borders. That was that's the most 2006 seven thing I can think of.
Yeah,
but it was becoming that sort of thing of. It was a little bit hip Playboy, wasn't it?
It's not Larry Flint and Hustler.
No.
It's more like Esquire and kind of like Lad Mag.
There was a definite crossover between the two. I mean, this is so excruciating. There's a point where Ashley and Maria struggle to make a tag to one another, right? There's a bit where Ashley kicks out at two and Maria comes in to break up the pin at three. Well, she's already kicked out. Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so many bits in that where you, then the fucking lights go out.
What was that about?
And then like, and there's just a spotlight. It's just, thank God the lights didn't go out during Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels, you know, that would have been horrible. But watching this, you just sort of go, this shit show to end all shit shows,
And then Snoop Dogg kisses one of them. And
slowly as well. Like, what did they expect the reaction would be? What the fans would go, yay!
Snoop Dogg's getting some.
Yay! It's just kiss you softly. Well, everyone just goes, oh, gee, I don't know what to, where am I going?
What am I looking at?
Yeah, I met Snoop Dogg once. Yeah, okay. I was working backstage at a gig doing scripting and he was the main event and he had a separate, it was in Manchester, and he had a separate sort of almost like a sort of shed.
Humidor.
Yeah, that he was like, it was unbelievable. It really was. I mean, he, you know, smoking obviously his Sensimilia.
Sweet Mary Jane.
Sweet Mary Jane. And he was very thin. Very tall.
You forget. Remember when he did Starsky and Hutch, and he was seen in shorts.
Yeah,
that scares me. He's like the Slender Man. Absolutely.
He was not very friendly, but the people around him, who is like his sort of, you know, his entourage, they were some of those people. If you were standing by a wall when he came out of the shed, they would run over and push you to sort of like go, get back. And you were like, I couldn't be any fucking further back. You know, I'd have to be on the other side of the building, you know, other side of this fucking wall. And that put me off him. I was like, oh, you're surrounded by dickheads. Let me just say, he was joined in that shed dressing room by a lot of women from the local area. Some of whom, let me say, were not old. It was an astonishing display.
Right, okay, good.
Yeah.
But of age, let's make that very clear, of age.
Yeah, they weren't old, like, in their 40s or 30s.
Yeah.
20s.
Well, just writing an edit note down. But,
at least the women who could wrestle won this match. In any other era, I think, you know, had you not had your Beth Phoenix, who was a great athlete, and Melina, who was also quite good in the ring, I think they would have put the Playboy Bunnies over, and at least they had the good grace to allow the actual women who could wrestle to win a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
I shouldn't think Ashley and Maria care about winning at WrestleMania. No, that's only something marks do, like me.
They're probably really bothered about that.
The next match number seven, is for the WWE Championship. It's Randy Orton versus Triple H versus John Cena.
Yes.
I always make loads of notes. So I've got like 17 pages of notes on this. And honestly, Pete, that is six lines on this match.
Yeah, I've got John Cena's marching band, because he's flipped from a military man to an NFL man.
That's two lines I've heard about the brass band. I saw this match and I was like, I don't know if I've seen this match before, this triple threat. I don't know. It feels like a match I've seen a million times. I also, the people in it, I'm just like, I have no interest in watching this. Then that band did play John Cena's theme tune and I was like, I am really energized by this. I'm really excited. I loved it. I can listen to that all day.
Yeah.
Great. Really exciting. And then it just that stopped. Triple H's music started. And honestly, I couldn't watch it. It was on. And I found myself watching a match from like 1970s World of Sport. I could not physically watch it. It was so, the crowd was silent. It was
a lot of love for Cena in the room.
They boo him out. This was really the problem with this period of wrestling.
Cena's got very long hair.
Yes, yeah.
He's got weirdly, and that kind of makes him look even more like Action Man, who has different moods and fluffy hair.
Yeah, he's got fluffy hair.
Very fluffy hair.
A baby bird. It's sickening. this was the problem with like the wrestling around 2007. to about 2012, and it was the same people on top, a combination of Cena, a combination of Orton or Triple H, and having all three of them together is just, I can't tell you how much of a massive turnoff it was to do. Oddly, I mean, they will end up having Triple H, Randy Orton as the main event of WrestleMania 25.
Right.
And that is a perfect example of them overreaching with the what they believe is the big stars. And that match died. It tanked. This match, at least, I have no idea why it wasn't the main event, because normally they'd have made this the main event. The other thing with Undertaker is, oddly, Undertaker doesn't need to be the main event, because Undertaker is such a big star that by making him the main event, you've basically taken two things, Undertaker and the main event, and put them together.
Yes.
Whereas this one, they've gone, yeah, we'll do that. And I'm surprised Cena, Triple H, Orton wasn't the main event.
Yeah.
But thank God it wasn't, because it's unfair of me to say it was boring, because I only half watched it, because it was so boring I couldn't bring myself to do it.
It was very forgettable.
Should we crack on?
Let's crack on.
Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather.
Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather. Way more fun than I thought it was going to be. And to be honest, this really kind of makes me think, Jesus Christ, I remember this happening.
Yeah.
I remember going onto YouTube and going, I was just going to work. And that guy's, that man's really big, and Floyd Money Mayweather is tiny.
He is tiny. I tell you, best celebrity wrestling match of all time.
Yeah.
It really is good. You think of the people who've done it, like Mr. T, Tyson Fury, Muhammad Ali, Jay Leno in WCW.
Really?
We're going to review that one day, honestly.
Cool.
The bloke who played Green Arrow, who's been around the last couple of years, Stephen Amell, he's done quite a lot. Nice. David Arquette, even.
Yeah.
No one has understood the basics of what pro wrestling is, i.e. that it's not really about moves.
No.
It's about performance.
Yeah.
Better than Floyd Mayweather.
It was fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
And let's not forget, like, he is the most bankable star.
Yep.
Not just in boxing, not just in boxing that year, not just in boxing that decade, in any sport ever.
Yep.
1.67 billion in revenue throughout his career.
Yep.
He is one of the most bankable stars. He is the most bankable star in the world.
Entirely.
And he's doing WrestleMania with Big Show. A bit of a sideshow kind of like match.
True. In May 2007, he beats Oscar De La Hoya for the WBC Light Middleweight Championship.
Mm.
And it's the first pay-per-view to get more than 2 million buys.
Yeah.
So he's a big star. So this is less than a year later.
Yeah.
WWE originally wanted to get Oscar De La Hoya involved as well. So they had an idea for a match being, I think it was Floyd Mayweather and Shane McMahon against Rey Mysterio and Oscar De La Hoya as the sort of Mexican contingent.
Yeah.
Oscar De La Hoya had no interest in doing pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So he made that clear and he was out. So they said, okay, well, let's make it Shane McMahon and the Big Show against Rey Mysterio and Floyd Mayweather. And that failed because Rey Mysterio tore his pec and was out for 4 months. So that's how we end up getting Big Show versus Mayweather, which is the most obvious match to put together because you've got someone who's very small against someone who's very big. That is Wrestling 101. And they set this up really well. Big Show's been out for a long time. He's come back. He's actually in the best shape of his career for a long, long time. He shaved his head. We talked about this before. When he's not bothered, his hair gets long.
His hair gets long,
he doesn't go to the barbers because he just sits at home and he can't motivate himself. And in this, hair all shaved, all gone, because he's like, I am full on. They set this up at a pay-per-view called No Way Out in February, where Big Show comes back and he's, I'm back, and everyone's cheering. And he gets annoyed that Rey Mysterio is being led out injured and is taking too long. And so he suddenly starts attacking Rey Mysterio. And Oscar De La Hoya is in the front row. The pay-per-view is taking place at Las Vegas. And so Big Show begins sort of going, what are you going to do about it? Hey, what are you going to be doing about it? And he taunts him from the ring. And Floyd Mayweather leaps like Mighty Mouse into the ring. And what made it really believable and really well done is all of Mayweather's entourage are there in a split fucking second, like, this is our property, our money, he can't get injured, and this is a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And basically Big Show taunts him. There's no commentary and you don't hear what's said. Big Show's taunting him, doing a really good panto so everyone can see what it is. And he gets down on one knee and sort of goes, come on, hit me. And Floyd Mayweather hits him so quickly, hits about four times in a third of a second, and he breaks Big Show's nose. So there's blood everywhere. Big Show actually says He asked Mayweather to break his nose. He said, let's make this good. Whether he did or not, yeah. Mayweather broke his nose.
So he actually broke his nose.
He actually broke his nose, yeah.
Bloody hell.
So then they build up to this WrestleMania. Now, Mayweather wasn't trained in wrestling, but they got a wrestler called Matt Sydal, who was later known as Evan Bourne briefly in a WWE run that was unspectacular. Mm. But he's a big independent wrestler. He is about the same size as Mayweather.
Yeah.
So he put the match together with Big Show. They would perform it for Mayweather so he could see what it would look like.
Yeah.
And then they taught him like that. Big Show comes out, and this is the biggest match, really, of Big Show's career. He's been forgotten in the shuffle for years before this.
Right.
He comes out. There's a bit that is absolutely heartbreaking. So he says, as he comes into the ring, he chucks up his hand like for a big choke slam as he's on the way out. And the pyro goes off. And he did an interview where he said, I remember throwing up that choke slam, that signal there, and the pyro went. I didn't even know I was getting pyro. So when the pyro went off, like, I'm hyped now, pacing back and forth right now. I mean, I could pull the trunk off a Buick right now, I'm telling you. I'm excited. And it's just like, he got pyro. They rain down the money as Mayweather comes in so that everyone's going to be cheering, or at least not booing, when Mayweather comes out. Yeah. And he's with these bodyguards who are huge, and they are his actual bodyguards. Certainly one of them is.
Okay.
They aren't wrestlers. They do seem to be his entourage, and they're obviously just keen to get involved. And out they come. They're big, and so it ruins the fact that when you see Mayweather and Big Show together, you've already seen Mayweather's quite small with a big guy. It's an annoying little thing that niggles me, that. Yeah. Shame. As he gets in, there appears the neon sign, I'm gay. The last thing anyone wanted. And they have this match, and it's brilliantly laid out. And it's brilliantly laid out because Mayweather understands why he's there.
Yeah.
What he doesn't do, which a lot of celebrities do, is they don't want to look, especially sports people, they don't want to look weak.
Mm.
And Mayweather plays that part to perfection.
He looks tiny. He looks defeated. He doesn't know what to do.
He's gets smacked about and he sells.
Yeah.
He sells so well. He runs like a coward.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things. He is the biggest boxer in the world. He is in a business where he makes his money by knocking people spark out.
Yeah.
And he is absolutely, you know, he's hard as nails because he's happy to have the Big Show slap him, and he acts like his soul has left his body.
I mean, it's like, you know, look, he's beaten Hatton. Like, can you imagine if Mayweather in any way hurt any of his... Big Show, three or four occasions, just stands on him.
Yeah.
Stands on his stomach.
Yep.
What if he broke a vertebrae? What if he did? I cannot fathom who decided that Big Show should stand on the most bankable sports star.
The funny thing is, the people who were nervous about someone, you know, essentially causing havoc in the ring, it wasn't Mayweather's people. It was Big Show.
Right.
And so he said, I didn't know how Floyd was going to work in front of 70,000 people. I didn't know if he'd go into business for himself. He was a better pro in the ring than some of the guys that I've been in the ring with that have trained for this and done it for years. And he was. He's just amazing. He said, Show said, Mayweather understands the one part of our business that's very important for characters. And I tell the young people all the time, you've got to have a presence. You've got to be able to walk into a room and command a room. You've got to be able to walk down that entrance and command the entrance. Mayweather, you could tell, he just ate it up. Mm. And it is brilliant. He is probably the third best wrestler on that card. He is so good. He's so funny. And it's just, I mean, there's some great bits where Big Show is dragging him back to the ring from where he's trying to run away, and his mouth is open and he's sort of protesting, and he's just all of that, which I sort of go, God, I haven't seen that in wrestling for years. I haven't seen a cowardly heel, and God, he was good. I would honestly say no one has ever made Big Show look as good in a match as Floyd Mayweather did. You know, he really did.
It was a lot of fun.
Magic. Mm. He always claimed he was paid $20 million for doing WrestleMania.
Yeah. Probably a little less than that.
Yeah. They mentioned that his management have never, ever revealed how much he was paid for any match.
Yeah.
Although they used to constantly, when he'd say that, they'd go, yep, $20 million. So they were like, well, if they'd never agreed it before, this sounds like it's all bullshit. It's believed he got around $2 to $5 million.
Yeah.
So not to be sniffed at.
No.
But as they said, I mean, part of it, they said the cross promotion that he got. I think not just the cross promotion, you can actually see that thing of doing WrestleMania. You sort of go, wow, I can see this. This is basically what I do. except it's predetermined, but it's the show.
Yeah.
And the show is what gets people in. Look, for example, I mean his match against Conor McGregor.
Mm.
Perfect example of that. That was pure wrestling. You get a couple of people, one who is a shit-talking, Stone Cold Steve Austin-style guy in Conor McGregor, and then you get the cocky, moneyed champion who just runs him down. I mean, that is wrestling 101.
Yeah.
And that did business like you wouldn't believe.
Well, he fought that Japanese kickboxer a couple of years in Tokyo, didn't he? Like Mayweather. He was like he was getting involved with that, and obviously it looked like he took a fall.
Yeah,
he's just money. He just knows what he's doing.
You know, he's made boxing exciting, and he's made boxing exciting by slightly going outside of boxing.
Yes. That's
I'm not a huge fan of boxing. I'm a huge fan of MMA.
Right,
but I would happily watch Floyd Mayweather again. It's that thing about wrestling. Give me panache, give me showbiz, give me a bit of sort of razzle dazzle,
yeah,
and then I will go with you to the ends of the earth. Absolutely, he is brilliant in this. So good.
Yeah,
I want him to come back to WrestleMania again. I want him to take on Big Show now. Big Show's older.
Maybe they will also be older.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And then finally, we get to the main event.
Yeah.
The Undertaker versus the world champion Edge.
Mm.
Interesting match. It really picks up as it goes on. The crowd are very quiet in quite a lot of it in the early stages.
But it's one of the best main events I've seen in this whole shebang.
Yeah. You're getting to a point where people are actually the in-ring is becoming very, very important. Mm. And you get people like Edge who... Edge was at WrestleMania 6 as a fan, you know, and now he's main eventing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
These things mean a lot to these performers doing these main events of WrestleMania. You are the number one person in your business.
Mm.
And they do take it very seriously. And you can see that in the matches that they deliver.
Yeah.
The quality is, even if I find like something like this WrestleMania being a little bit unmemorable, the in-ring stuff is really watchable.
Mm.
It's really, really easy to watch.
Mm.
Edge, still a strange name. He called himself the Edge after he was driving through Canada and there was a radio station called The Edge. And he was like, I like that, so I'm going to call myself The Edge.
He could have been called BRMB. Or,
I'm Classic FM. Edge is a
classic fighting male. That would be perfect.
Yes,
I'm a classic fighting man.
Classic, it's like Razor Ramon HG, Razor Ramon Hard Gay, the Japanese yes. guy. I like the initials, can stand for anything. Oh, I love Razor Ramon HG. Oh, yeah. Hard gay. Edge is one of those guys who, until he returned literally this morning, he had a career that was truncated by injury. Mm. So he would only have 2 years left wrestling
after
before
this.
He had to retire.
Which
yeah,
is fascinating, because he doesn't look that old there.
No, and he's gone for 9 years until he comes back, as I say, this morning at the Royal Rumble, when we're recording this.
How is he allowed to, how is his neck or whatever the injury
there
was?
Have been the interesting thing about this is the doctors who basically look at neck things and say, look, if you wrestle again, it's going to be
it's
over.
Curtains, yeah.
With people like Kurt Angle, there have been procedures they've been able to get that have improved their neck, and you know, this is as these things begin to develop and people you know, get further advances in medicine. What's been happening since Daniel Bryan is that they've been essentially being able to challenge the doctors of the WWE with other doctors who are equally or if not better in their fields.
Yeah.
So people who once had career-ending injuries the WWE would never clear them for.
Oh, so the WWE are the ones that effectively kind of go, you yeah. can't do this anymore.
Nobody wants someone paralyzed on their watch. You yeah. know, this it is the, and again, we've joked about this before, but the performers are the most important thing to a wrestling business. Mm. There's no point having them continually getting injured.
Yeah.
So I think there comes that point where they go, well, we don't want to be taking risks with people when it's quite clear that if we do and they get damaged, then that's on us.
Right.
So there's always been that sense.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think with someone like Edge, you know, it's obvious that, you know, the problems that he's had within the 9 years obviously are clearing up. A lot of the time with wrestling, I think people are beginning to understand that the wear and tear that it does in your body is one of those things that can be avoided if you have an off season. Mm. There have been talks about this before, about people saying, why don't we have an off season like American football does, like baseball does? If we had an off season, then people could heal.
Yeah.
And there's really no reason in a time when you've got so many people contracted with people like WWE that they don't just, you know, shift the guys around.
It's a massive roster. Would anybody necessarily notice if a wrestler takes 2 months off?
Not at all. Not at all.
Not in the slightest.
But the thing is, they're being paid, so they have to turn up and they yes. have to do their 5-minute matches, whether it costs them their lives or not. Edge doesn't have a special entrance at this WrestleMania.
Right.
And he had said, we talked about having a band play me in. He said, but I was always a heel, and I believe that a heel shouldn't have a badass band playing them to the ring because you're going to cheer that. It's cool. He says, I don't know, I see Triple H going out and high-fiving with Lemmy and Motorhead, and I go, well, what's there to hate? If you're a heel, to me, you do everything within your power to be a heel. Mm. Little bit of a fuck you to Triple H there. the boss going, you weren't very good at this. You made a mistake there. But they have this long, long walk in.
Mm.
It's a very, very long route.
It's a long route, and yeah. that obviously comes up later on. But
that's the one good part of it, is that the little bit where they have no referee and Charles Robinson has to run the length of it.
And he runs as fast as he can.
He does, and it makes it so exciting.
It's fraught with danger, because at any point you could triple.
Yeah, and
he slides
into that ring, and he counts, and it's, I think, Undertaker's on a tombstone on Edge, and he does the one, the two, and Edge kicks out because he's had to run so far. It's a really good use of, you know, that obviously problematic long entranceway. Undertaker in this is... It's not his best performance. The match is good. I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah.
But he's got on his throat. He's broke up with his wife, Sara, in 2007. And he'd previously had Sara tattooed across his throat. And you can see they've begun the process of...
Lettering. Of,
yeah. Oh, that must hurt right in your throat. Every food, all the food you eat is hot, even though it's not been cooked. Just,
Well, he rocks up and he's dressed. I don't think I've ever seen him dressed like that, like a leather tabard.
Yeah.
The last time I saw that, a man was hosing down some industrial trays at a Melton Marlborough sandwich factory.
It does look
and then,
like that.
And then he went on to sort of, said, female orgasm? I mean, he's this doing some really bad stand-up. So he's hosing down this sandwich tray. Female orgasm, as long as I've spread my muck, I don't care. That kind of just as he's, and it's just this man of the salt of the earth man in a in a leather tabard. So yeah, that's what that reminded me of.
I can see why that image would stay with you.
Long as I spread me mock, I don't give a fuck. Thank you, I'm 18.
At this point, of course, the thing we're all worried about with the divorce between The Undertaker and his wife, Sarah, is what will happen to the Zeus Compton Calloway Save the Animals Fund at Texas College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. And that, of course, was to help pay for life-saving treatments for large breed dogs. Right. I presume that means that Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, and his wife, Sarah, had a dog called Zeus Compton Calloway at some point, and unfortunately, it died.
Oh, no.
A little insight there.
I don't like this part.
I had a read about The Undertaker. I was trying to find out something about him that I'd not known before. And in 1999, he introduced movies on the Sci-Fi Channel for 3 nights.
What?
Yeah.
Cool.
And his introduction for the series was, "I am The Undertaker, and beginning March 15th, I will take control of the Sci-Fi Channel, presenting my Theater of Doom. For 4 nights, I will present the movies that accurately reflect the dark visions that I possess." Those films? Army of Darkness, Tales from the Crypt, The Terminator, and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Indiana Jones!
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom explores concepts that few mortals have ever considered, and even fewer have dared to explore.
A big boulder.
Perhaps.
Rolling down a
after
hill.
After watching these films, you can truly understand the world I live in. But heed this warning. Once you taste the darkness, you may never want to turn away.
Putting your hand in a hole you think is a switch, but a spider gets on your hand.
I'm going to put your hand in this. I'm going to be... It's. I'm going to say it's brains, but what's jelly? yeah, Indiana Jones and the Temple
Pudding
of Doom.
Putting on the Ritz.
Literally a children's film. Amazing.
A little boy who puts little bricks on his feet so he can drive a car. Temple of Doom? Or like, I remember.
I don't know. I've not seen it for years. I just love that. It's obvious that, I don't know, maybe they asked him what films he wanted and they'd already written those bits around. We thought we were going to say Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No, I want to see The Terminator.
Flight of the Navigator.
Mac and Me. And Short Circuit 2. Not Short Circuit 1. I don't like that one. He does a terrible hip attack. I don't know whether Edge just forgot to fight back or something.
Right.
There's a point where Undertaker just barrels into the corner and he sort of jumps as high as he can to like go over the top rope. And Edge hasn't done a thing.
No.
And he goes out and he's like, oh, that was a disaster. And they very obviously don't show a replay of it. Right. But they go, ah, Undertaker there, right out of the ring. And it lasts for a long time and he's on the floor. And you're absolutely waiting for it to go shoop, yeah, like that. Nope,
nope,
not at all.
Didn't enjoy it.
That looked shit, mate. It's as bad a move as you'll ever see.
I think the referee, because every time a big move happens, the referee obviously comes over to check if they're all right. But like, yeah, the guy comes up and goes, Are you fucking joking?
Hey,
Temple of Doom again.
Hey, Mark. I'm out. Don't worry about it. It's only the main event.
You wanted this, you fucking lanky streak.
I can see why last year you and Batista were put a 4. Anyway, get up and fucking make the best of it, you twat.
And he runs down the lane.
Yeah, the crowd do really get into it. Edge looks like he's going to cheat his way to victory. Mm. And they are really pushing the streak here. This is, I think, the first time where Edge is like, I'm going to be the one, you know, it's going to be 15-1.
Yeah.
And they're really, really pushing that. And that's there's a nice bit where they shout, you know, the Undertaker, the challenger showing life. Literally the one thing he doesn't. He is a dead man. And it ends quite flatly with Undertaker's submission move, the Hell's Gate. This is a move that never got over. Mm. And it's basically, Undertaker was into MMA,
yeah,
and always sort of thought, I could have been an MMA fighter. I could have been. Famously, in MMA, tall people don't do very well.
No.
Because they tend to be quite
slow
sort of
and slow and languid.
And they're, you know, you can hit them on the chin. And he did this move, and I think it was brought in because he couldn't do his tombstone pile driver to people like Carly or Umaga and things like that. So they were like, oh, we'll give him a submission move.
Oh, I would bloody love to see him do that to Carly.
Oh, my God.
And break his neck.
just 2 feet sticking out of the floor, like upright, like a cartoon, except the man underneath is dead. But the, oh, Jesus Christ, the that finishing move, it never got over.
No.
And when you use it to end WrestleMania, with someone who he could do all those moves to, yeah, and actually did in the course of the match, when you use it to end WrestleMania, and WrestleMania sort of just ends on a bit of a flat note,
yeah,
it's impossible to not go, oh, that's a disaster. That is a disaster. It's a really, really good match otherwise. A couple of just little bits that come out of it is Edge talked about, he said it's the pinnacle of his career. He said, you're main eventing WrestleMania against The Undertaker. That is the top. He said, but there were a lot of moments that were just as rewarding. He said, oh, he's hedging his bets. I think he's got that thing of WrestleMania main event. That's what everyone goes for. It's against The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But I imagine he's a bit like, it wasn't much fun.
It was a good clean match. It was, yeah. They didn't give him much to do, really.
No.
There was nobody getting interfering much. It was,
no. You know. There is a little bit where Edge said WrestleMania 24. So after this match, it was the only time he swapped gear with a fellow worker. So a bit like swapping your football shots.
Oh, right, okay.
So he exchanged his kick pads and tights for a pair of Undertaker's gloves. Edge said that deal was pretty cool. He said, and I was glad I got that memory. Now, he got done over on that one, didn't he, right? So Undertaker has got a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Mind you, those gloves are probably quite expensive because they are...
Yeah, but Edge's kick pads and tights, right?
What are kick pads?
Are kick pads are those sort of big foam things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
they're custom made.
Yeah.
Right? And B, to have the whole set of like the WrestleMania main event costumes...
Yes.
Undertaker's just got another pair of gloves. I'll buy another pair of gloves. Edge got absolutely fucked over on that one. That's that is, you lose twice, don't you? You lose the main event and then you lose in the swapping. I'll give you my tights and my kick pads. I thought you might like to. Yeah, you can have one glove. Oh.
Oh,
great.
I could have a motorbike. I thought you're going to give me a motorbike.
Can I have your Sara tattoo that's half lasered off?
Can I have your ex-wife? Hey, you're the worst.
Can I have that money that you put towards big dogs that are sick? Why are you doing this, man? We just did a really nice WrestleMania main event. Why are you doing this?
You gave me
two gloves.
You should want the dogs to die because you're the dead man. You could be a dead dog.
Do you live underground in Hades?
Look, give me some worms at least. Give me some fucking worms. Give me your brother, Ken.
Can I have the other glove? You can have the other glove. Yay!
Edge, retire now.
I've done it all. Oh, wow. So that was WrestleMania 24.
Fun.
Yeah.
A lot in there. Again, it's getting very modern and very scary.
It is.
But each one we're chomping off, I'm going, you know what? It's not too bad being in the future.
No, it's not too bad, is it? It's all right. From an in-ring perspective, it's okay. And I'll tell you what, when we get to WrestleMania 25... I went to WrestleMania 25,
yay!
So I've got an exclusive thing. But before we do that, there is something I want to do. Now, people will have listened this far. Obviously, there's less than there was at the start. So I should have done this at the start.
Right.
But I wanted to ask people, we're going to do a little special episode where we read out the times that you have met WWE wrestlers.
Yes.
Briefly, preferably in Britain. It can be on holiday, but it can't be on holiday to America. So if you met Steve Regal on holiday in Malaga, yeah, I will accept that. But just let us know. I've had some hilarious ones so far.
Okay.
The number of shopping centre signings, nice, and things like that, they are all really good. The person who most people seem to have met is Bret Hart. And I haven't quite read one yet where he's come across as a warm guy. But there are some absolute corkers. So I think what we're going to do in between these WrestleManias,
yeah,
because we've got to pad them out, lads.
Yep.
Got to pad them out.
We'll do a special.
We're going to do a little special, lovely, which is WrestleMeet.
Yes.
So it's when you have met the stars. So if you have... a little story about when you have met one of these remarkable human beings, then please let us know. You can throw it on the Twitter, which is at WrestleMePod, or you can email us. I can never remember the email address.
Sure@WrestleMePod.com. That's sure@WrestleMePod.com. And we will accept any old toss when
honestly,
it comes to wrestlers.
Honestly.
Any old... If we've seen him in a wrestle... WWE, whatever.
I once,
just give us it.
I mean, I waited outside a wrestling show in 1991, the WWE one, because a friend of mine I was with was like, you can see them if you go out the back, you can see them leave. So we waited out the back. There are loads of kids there, and Greg Valentine came out in a car that was... not as good a car as you'd imagine a star would be in.
Yeah.
It was like a sort of Honda. That's it. And that's enough.
Greg the Hammer Valentine's Honda Civic. That's what we got. Wow.
You know it. So any meetings, please let us know. And we will, we're going to have a nice like communal show.
Cool.
It's about time some of you guys did the work, yeah?
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, no, wait, we should end like this. Woo!
Woo!
Wasn't as good as Wrestle Me. It's not our thing, is it?
Can I have your gloves?
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.